A luminary, and you're listening to The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands, or it stands right here. I'm still trying to figure out which intro I want to use. I may just use them interchangeably, okay? But I'm still trying to figure that out. I want to know if the stands where it stands, or the truth stands right here, is more impactful. It just depends. I really don't know. But I am so honored, so blessed to be able to bring you the Truth Stand once again. I'm behind the platinum blue microphone. I'm behind the Dell Inspiron 6 something something. I am behind the Logitech C920 webcam. And I have to my left side, not to my right side this time, I have to my left the Galaxy S Tablet 4 or the Galaxy Tab S4. And I have the Pixel 2 XL on my right. I'm not getting the Pixel 3 XL. Pixel 2 XL is where it's at. It is my phone. Well, at least until they come out with number 4. Anyway, I have so much to talk about. I am going to try to keep this thing under 45 minutes today. I'm going to try, but I don't know. I don't know, people. I don't know if I can. I'm sorry. Look, if you think it's too long, just download it and listen to it. Download it at thetruthstand.org. That is thetruthstand.org. Thetruthstand.org. And always, if you like it, you love it, you listen, you share it. We have to get this podcast global. Or at least regional, at least. Come on, people. People, at least the ones who know me, please listen, for Christ's sake. I'm spending a lot of time, putting a lot of effort, but it's because I believe the Lord wants me to, and I believe ultimately He's going to bless it. So let's get right into it. What are we talking about today? I hear people talk about all the time how it costs to be a Christian, that you just cannot just make a profession of faith without truly understanding what it means to be a Christian. And we're going to discuss that at the very end of the show, because I have a tremendous encouragement. I have good news for you. We have a testimony to give, okay? We're going to end the show with a testimony, not a scripture today, because today's show is going to be scripture heavy. We're also going to talk about Canadian Christians and the persecution by the LGBT community. We're going to talk a lot about that. I have some more bad Lecrae news. We're also going to talk about how a school wants to require atheists to lead Bible studies. We also want to talk about how trans children are promoted on Good Morning America. It's just absolutely disgusting. But I want to start off by recapping some of what I talked about on last week's podcast, my first full-length podcast, okay? That's called The Truth Stand. I also offer something called The Quickie Truth, which is something that's designed to be 20 minutes or less, and it's just one thought. It's one statement, and I'm going to present something like that later on this week. But as far as today is concerned, I want to recap what I did last week. Last week, I talked about so many things. And the one thing that seemed to get me in trouble with people was I talked about Dave Ramsey. And I talked about how he was telling preachers that you should not tell poor people not to tithe until they get their budget straight. Which, if you believe in the doctrine of the Christian tithe, which I do not, and I'm going to do a podcast one day, a quickie truth about tithing and how it's really supposed to be understood biblically. But for now, Dave Ramsey, if we're to believe that ideology, that doctrine, if we're to believe that, then Dave Ramsey is completely backwards. So I looked at it and I kind of mocked it, because I'm not a fan of Dave Ramsey. I think Dave Ramsey's a false teacher, because Dave Ramsey teaches hoarding, and hoarding is definitely forbidden in scripture. Okay. So I simply just ripped into him and I laughed at him. I mocked him and I got chastised for it. But that's just the way it goes on the Truth Stand. You can hear that at the 37 minute mark of last week's show. I also talked about Pastor Dietrich Haddon, Pastor, that dude that Jesus died for, doing sexy Christmas songs. We also talked a lot about this gay activist who basically says Jesus is a slut and Jesus was promiscuous, and so therefore it allows them to be whores and sluts too. Disgusting. Just disgusting apostasy. I talked about so much, so many things on last week's show, but you're just going to have to listen. I go into depth about apostasy, and I also talked about the Christian persecution. As a matter of fact, did you know that China has a credit system, a credit rating system? Now, guess how that's going to affect the Christian body there. It's already, they are already being persecuted beyond belief in China. And it's all sanctioned and it's all legal in China. Okay, so it's not going to stop. So that's last week's episode. I also did a quickie truth about a story that I think is just so instructive. It's such a teachable moment about America and who America really is now in 2018, where anyone can claim racism and get somebody in trouble. Lucky for this person, people like myself went to bat for this person, and that person got their job back, and the people that accused her of racism were liars and proven to be liars. But that is very difficult to do in our world, okay? So with that being said, I want to get into a little bit about this week. And I want to start by reading a scripture. Well, it's actually going to be two scriptures, okay? One is in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 through 21. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I'm reading it from, once again, from the Galaxy Tablet S4. All right? So check this out. Verse 20. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Okay, so let me also take you to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So why am I reading these two scriptures? Well, it's because I have a friend of mine who's a dear friend of mine. Don't get me wrong. But this person believes that scripture could be of anyone's interpretation. This person believes that scripture can be interpreted any way. To quote them exactly, they said, well, scripture really just depends on who's giving it to you. Sadly to say, this is actually a true statement. Not that it is right, but it is absolutely true, unfortunately, that today scripture is really about who's holding it now. And it's really about who is believing what they want to believe. But I am reading that scripture to let you know that scripture is not of any sort of private interpretation. By the way, speaking of Peter, we're going to talk about Peter shortly here. I have a great encouragement from the word as it regards Peter and how to deal with the swell of the world around us today. But with that being said, let's get back to my point. Didn't lose my spot. I don't make mistakes like that, people. Keep in mind, scripture is not about what you think. It's not about what you desire. You don't come to the Bible with your own preconceived desires and then pull doctrine out of it. Because if you do that, then the Bible is no better than any other book. You can do whatever the heck you want to do with it. And so keep that in mind when we talk about scripture. Okay, just keep that in mind. People may ask, well, then how in the world is one supposed to understand scripture? Simply, you have to have a well-working knowledge of the Word of God. You have to have been able to have read the entire Bible multiple times in your life, many, many times in your life, or at least enough of it to where you get a general sense of who God is, who man is in relationship to God, who Christ is, and who Christ is in relationship to man. There are things that you just have to have a general understanding to know that when you read scripture, you can read and say, listen, what does the word want me to get out of it? What did God, who inspired scripture, Matter of fact, there's another verse in Timothy talking about how scripture is God-breathed and it is profitable for rebuke and correction. These words, as it says in 2 Timothy, were as holy men wrote under the inspiration of the Lord. These are his words. So we must understand that this is his truth. So our job is to, what does he, our creator, the one who breathed life into us, the one who gave strength to our bodies, the one who set everything, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. That God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that God, what does he want from me out of scripture? What does he want from me? That is exactly how you're supposed to get started in interpreting scripture. So my encouragement here is read the word of God for yourself. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. And guess what? You will start to understand it clearly, and you won't be having your own interpretation of scripture. Well, unlike these people here, unlike Lecrae, Carl Lentz, and other pro-abortion alleged Christians, this article is from Pulpit and Pen. Quote, Lecrae, Carl Lentz, fawn over pro-abortion Democrat Stacey Adams. Now, of course, this was written prior to her conceding the election in Georgia for governor. But it says that Carl Lentz and Lecrae and Planned Parenthood have all one thing in common. They endorse Stacey Abrams as a role model for young girls. Abrams lost her race for governor to a pro-life Republican, Brian Kemp. No thanks to celebrities who came out to support her in droves. One of them was Oprah Winfrey. And it says here, Planned Parenthood endorsed the Democrat candidate and pointed out her service on NARAL, pro-choice Georgia board, and her pro bono legal work for young women who wanted abortions. Abrams also opposed a 20-week abortion ban during 2012's legislative session, in which she voted to allow the murder of infants. God, that is exactly what abortion is. It is murder. It is absolutely corrupt in every way. There is no defense for it. I said there is none. While she was yet 9 months pregnant, blank, 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 okay? Now, listen to Lecrae's ridiculous statement. I mean, absolutely, utterly ridiculous. This is why Lecrae, a man who has gone astray, a man who, I don't know if he's still a believer. I'm honest. I don't know if he is. I don't know. I'm judging it by his fruit, people. I'm not judging it by what you believe about him and what he used to be. I'm judging it by who he is now. And who he is now, he's become much more of a social activist. He's engaged in more black liberation theology. He's engaged more in politics. He's always ripping on the Christian church about something. Quote, this was from his Instagram page. My daughter looks up to you, and she's 9. Not because she's familiar with your stances in politics, but because you're a highly educated woman of color who fights for what she believes in despite of opposition. So, come on, Christian, let's discern this. No, don't put your head in the dirt. Let's discern that statement. My daughter looks up to you and she's 9. I wonder if daddy has something to do with that. Not because she's familiar with your stances and policies. I wouldn't expect a 9-year-old to know these things. But nonetheless, that's not important. But the irony to that is there are people who call themselves Christians, black Christians who call themselves Christians, sitting in churches voting for pro-murder Democrats, and they know the politics and the stances, and they don't care. But because you're a highly educated woman of color, now stop. Why are we being racialist? What's the point? It doesn't matter if she's a woman of color or not. Why do we have to take it there? Guess what, Lecrae? There are plenty of women who your daughter could look up to in the scriptures. Okay, plenty of women, Mary, the mother of Jesus being one of those, Susanna, women who helped Jesus at the very beginning when he was resurrected. What about Sarah, Abraham's wife? There are plenty of godly women in scripture she could pattern herself after. But no, you want her to pattern off the black skin of some abortionist because she's black. Let me tell you something, black skin, white skin, Asian skin, it will all be condemned, it will all be judged. Seriously. And she sees that, this is Lecrae again on his Instagram page, she sees that she can be more than just what society says. Excuse me? The word of God tells her that. She's already, if she's saved, she's already more than what society tells her. She is a royal priesthood. She is a chosen generation. She is a king and a priest. She's more than anything in heaven that the word of God. She's more than anything. And I'm sorry for those of you if I sound like I'm screaming. But I'm sorry, I can't sit here and read the stuff and keep my voice down. It is hard. I will fix it. But I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And then you got this fraud Carl Lentz of Hillsong and all these other crackhead leftists. Yeah, I said it. Bunch of crackhead leftists. I said it.
It's pure evil!
Oh, did you know that we in our culture, we are now promoting children who are drag queens? It says, 11-year-old trailblazing child drag queen promoted on Good Morning America. This is from ChristianHeadlines.com. You know what? It says, host Michael Strahan introduced a video of this person who I will not promote, also known as a name I will not promote, by saying the child was inspiring to many and was trailblazing a path for other children. Strahan also called it an amazing story. Moments later, after the video, the boy strutted down a runway towards Good Morning America wearing a blonde wig and a yellow and white dress, and that's enough. Sick. Just absolutely sick. I guess Michael Strahan loves that New York money, don't he?
It's pure evil!
Now, I have something here that's going to disturb you. I have an article that's going to bother you. It's going to offend you. And I'm going to calm down just a little bit because you need to hear this. I'm going to read most of this article. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. The quote, gay activists are coming for your Christian churches next, and it's already happening. Here's the upshot. We have, in Canada, we have this woman who went to a Baptist church, okay? Her name is doesn't matter. She went to a church called Calvary Baptist in Oshawa, Ontario. Calvary Baptist, like most churches, I'm reading from the article now, holds to the traditional biblical teaching of sexual morality. This person, however, has been in a relationship with her partner, whose name doesn't matter, for several years. Despite many liberal churches that she could have attended that would have been more thrilled to celebrate her relationship, this person chose to attend a church that adheres to what the Bible says about sexuality and even serve as a youth leader. But what happens, now I'm not reading from the article anymore, but what happens is that she decides to announce to the whole world, well, she's openly gay. Now, she's been sitting in this Baptist church who she knows preaches against that, okay? But she's been in this church for a long, long time. And then she decides, after she has secreted herself in, and there's a reason why I'm using that word, I'm going to get to that in a second, but she has secreted herself into this church, and then all of a sudden decides, oh, I'm gay, and I love it, and this is the way the Lord made me. And so what happens? The church says, well, you're living in disobedience to the scriptures. Well, we need you to leave, and we also need you to resign from being in youth ministry, okay? So she, of course, gets upset at this and says she starts now becoming an activist. And then what does she do? She runs to the Oshawa Community Advocate, some dude whose name will be nameless, okay? And he has launched a letter asking the Canada Revenue Agency, that would be their version of the Internal Revenue Service, to review the charitable status of Calvary Baptist. So basically, it's this way. You either accept homosexuality in your church, or we will come after your tax-exempt status. Guess what? The ACLU, people like the Religious Foundation from Freedom, or the Freedom from Religious Act, or whatever they are always going after churches' tax-exempt status. Why? Because in America, we're pushing the whole notion of separation of church and state. But in Canada, they're saying, hey, if you don't accept homosexuals in your church, if you don't let them serve in ministries, we're going to talk to the Canadian Review Service. Okay, revenue service, and we're going to have them strip you of your tax exempt status. In other words, we aren't tolerant. We will not accept your, quote, homophobia. We are bigots ourselves, and we are also intolerant of your stupid, silly Christianity. So therefore, we're going to come after you. Instead of this woman going to another church that will greatly accept her sin, go to another apostate church that will absolutely accept her sin, no, she goes to this Baptist church. And the reason why I said secreted, because let me tell you something. Do you think it's by accident that this woman's been there for years and then all of a sudden decides to come out? No. And this person who writes this article from LifeSite News thinks it's the next strategic step. And I believe it's true, and I believe it's coming here. I really, truly believe it here. I do. I seriously do. It is something that I am just disturbed about, because there's so many Christians who aren't paying attention to these things and they don't understand what's happening here. Okay. And so the article even goes on to state that other preachers have reached out to her to basically say, well, we agree with you. We agree with you. Remember how I talk about all the time, if anyone who's been listening to me for a year or so now, I talk about all the time how what's going to happen is that we are going to be persecuted, okay? But the persecution, truth be told, isn't going to really come from the atheist, okay? They will be behind a lot of it. But I believe what's going to really be behind of it are a lot of these apostate churches, a lot of these alleged Christian churches that accept all kinds of fraud and homosexuality, and then they point to people like us and say, we're not the real Christians, we're the haters, we're the bigots, persecute them. Or if they're not actively involved in our persecution, they will stand aside and allow the other persecution to take place, okay? It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. Now, that being said, just one more thing to talk about as far as Christian persecution. And it's this article from the ChristianHeadlines.com. It's really from the WordNet Daily. But the problem is with the WordNet Daily, every time I try to click on WordNet Daily, there's always some sort of spam or some sort of thing telling me my system's in error of danger and all this stuff. So I just can't click on it anymore. So I have to get it from ChristianHeadlineNews.com or Crosswalk.com. It says, Colorado school requires that Christians allow atheists to lead Bible studies. So basically, the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs is being sued after demanding that a Christian organization permit atheists or other non-Christians to lead their Bible studies in order to be recognized on campus. And then it says, while the school officials declined to comment on the situation, the Alliance Defending Freedom stated that the university refused to grant Rocio Christie registered status because it only allows those who share and hold beliefs consistent with the group's mission to serve as its leaders. So this Christian organization on campus is basically an apologetics group. And their job is to defend Christianity, or I would say define Christianity as well. And so the school basically says, you either let an atheist, think about it. That was another setup. Why would an atheist want anything to do with them? Why? That's what I was like, why would a Christian go into an atheist organization and seek to want to be the head of their chapter? There's no reason for it. That's like me going into a Muslim mosque and saying, I want to run the mosque. That makes no sense. Except it was by design. I'm sorry, you call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, but I've been living too long to just be sitting here and just saying, well, I don't really know why that happened. I really don't get it. Georgie Willikers, I don't understand. No, this stuff is purposeful. And basically what they're doing is shutting down a Christian organization who really represents Christ and who really wants the truth of Scripture to be understood and to be known. Because bottom line, that's persecution. That is straight up suppression of rights and liberty. Straight up. Okay. But in the name, see how it works in America is in the name of other people's liberties, in the name of other people's rights. Oh, we have to suppress yours. And since you're a Christian who we despise and we hate, unless you're one of these Christians who don't do anything that we don't like, well, then you have to be discriminated against for the greater good. And that's the real truth about it. I got more to talk about on the other side here. I got some good stuff for you coming on the other side of the break. But right now, you are listening to The Truth Stand. I am your host, The Luminary. I'll be right back. All right, I am back. I am your host, once again, the Luminary, and you are listening to The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina. And in the first 25 minutes, another hard-hitting show. I want you to go back. I want you to listen to it. I want you to tell me what you think. If it's really bad, then I don't want you to tell me what you think. I really don't care. But in the first half, we talked about the agenda of the LGBT to persecute Canadian Christians and how that persecution is going to continue and how I believe that persecution is coming to the United States. We also talked about Lecrae and other people who I see are going in a really bad direction. And I ripped into Lecrae for about 5 to 10 minutes about his support for a pro-abortionist here, okay? I also talked about how a school would require an atheist to lead a Bible study, and also how we're promoting transgender children, and how Michael Strahan thinks it's the greatest thing in the world on ABC. I also talked about private interpretation of scripture. And I told you at the very beginning that this show was going to be scripture heavy, and so it shall. Now, I have a little bit of an encouragement for y'all. I know that people who know me think that all I do is rip on things and all I do is I look at everything that's bad and I'm not obeying Philippians 4 verses 4 through 9 where it says, think on these things that are good and pure and such and so forth. But Jesus also told us to be wise. We were also told to watch the sign of the times. We also were told to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. We also was told to mark those which cause division and from such turn away. See, we've been told all sorts of things too. You can't just quote one part of scripture and then that's it. Okay, unless it's not with improper context. So let me make sure I put that in there. But I want to read a passage from Matthew 26. In the New King James. And let me set the table before I get to this part, okay? Jesus basically, this is in the last time of his ministry before he is arrested and being put on trial by the Sanhedrin, okay? This is when Judas Iscariot has betrayed Jesus. He's come with the armies and the soldiers, and he's come to betray Jesus, okay? And so what happens next is the trial. He's being led away, and Peter is following close behind him. I want you to understand what has happened is that when Jesus was arrested and taken by the Sanhedrin, the rest of the disciples, as scripture prophesied, fled, and they ran, okay? The Bible says that the sheep would be scattered, okay? The shepherd would be slain, and the sheep would scatter, and that's exactly what happened. But Peter, prior to this, had boldly proclaim, though all will leave you, I will never forsake you. Now, for anyone who knows scripture and knows the story of Peter, we know the story of redemption, and I'm going to talk about that as well. But let me start reading, starting at Matthew 26, verse 57. If you want to grab your Bibles, you want to read along, fine with me. This is from the New King James. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Of course, they were lying. Jesus was talking about how they would destroy him and he will raise himself 3 days later. But of course, they were lying. Okay. Now, and the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is these men that testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have witnesses? Look now, you have heard this blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." They spat in his face and beat him. and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you are with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know the man. And if in today's vernacular, beep, 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 beep. Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me thrice. So he went out and wept bitterly. Why did I take the time to read all of that scripture? Why did I do that? The reason is that, look at Peter from his perspective. A lot of us dump on Peter in this chapter because he was so cowardly. And he was very cowardly. But you know what he also was? He was self-righteous. He also was engaging in self-preservation, just like a lot of us do. And look at the swell of the circumstance around him. Look at all that was going on around him. This man whom he had worshipped, not worshipped, but followed. This man whom he had seen perform one miracle after the next. This man who washed his own feet. This man who took care of Peter and loved him. And loved him. This same man is now being put on trial by the Sanhedrin, and Peter knows that means death. And Peter did not want them to know that he was there. He blended in. He didn't want the world to know that he was with them. On three separate occasions, time had elapsed between each occasion. Peter was confronted, and he said, I don't know the man. And at the last minute, he began to curse and to swear because he really wanted to be set apart. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound like you? As the world swells around you, as it becomes more and more unpopular to be identified with Christ, is that you? Are you trying to blend in with the world? What about your preacher? What kind of stuff is your preacher preaching? Is he always preaching, or is she always preaching stuff that the world will like so that the world can't tell the difference? So that the world will think highly of you? Were you like Peter, who was truly ashamed, but was self-righteous? Because I'm sure Peter thought that because he was around, that he was holding true to his profession of faith, that I will never betray thee. I will never leave thee. And yet, he was there the whole time betraying Jesus. He was there betraying Jesus, and he had his back turned on Jesus the entire time while looking at him. Is that you? It is hard in this present day to deal with the swell. I know it is. It is more than hard to deal with it. Okay? I deal with it all the time. Let me tell you something. There's even a swell in Christianity. There's a way that we're supposed to be with Christians. There's a way we're supposed to sound. There's a way we're supposed to act. And when you don't comport to a certain measure of what Christians want you to do, then they react negatively. And then they put all this pressure on you to be a certain way. The world is the same thing. But how are you going to react to the swell? Okay. Now we know Peter's story. We know after Jesus had resurrected, he came to Peter and he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Peter answers, yes, you know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. He said again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Simon answers again. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he says, tend to my sheep. Jesus asked him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. And he says, for a third time, do you love me? And he says, you know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus says, then feed my sheep. And then he gives them this prophecy here. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you to carry you where you do not wish. Then he says, follow me. That was Peter's restoration. Glory to the Lord. And then we see that in chapters 2, 3, 4, 5 in the book of Acts, chapter 10, we see how strong Peter is. You want to know what the difference is? Peter's in the Spirit. Peter's walking by the Spirit. You want to deal with the swell of the world? Walk by the Spirit. I'm not going to sit here and try to give you 10 easy bake oven ways on how to do it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pre-install or pre-inject you with little things you could do to, quote, make it simpler for you. Because the truth is, my friend, the truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no easy way. But spending time with him, making it your number one priority. People don't get that. I made a statement with a brother last night as I hung with my family. I didn't get a chance to spend the time with the Lord that I wanted to yesterday. And I can tell you this, when y'all always out and about, it's pretty hard to do that, okay? But he answered and said, that's why, as a Christian, time with Jesus is the most important thing. Time with the Lord is the most important thing. Taking care of your family, but also spending that time with the Lord, which means denying things just to be with him. And that doesn't mean do it when you desperately need him. No, as a regular habit of life. Okay. And so you want to deal with the swell? Get in the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. You also want to deal with the swell? Then serve. What did Jesus tell Peter? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Follow me. That's how you deal with the swell. You keep your eyes focused on him who is eternal, who is from the grave, and who is alive and exalted forevermore. Just like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, how his face was set on him as Jesus was standing there looking at him. And Jesus looked, and Stephen looking at him, Jesus looking back down at him, and he was stoned. But guess what? Stephen, how he dealt with the swell, how did he deal with the swell around him? He served into his very dying breath. Be in the Spirit. Serve. That's how you deal with the swell, my people. And I understand how difficult it is, but that's how you deal with the swell, okay? Now, the last thing I wanted to do, okay? The last thing I wanted to do was I wanted to give yet another encouragement, okay? And this one here comes from Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, so give me a second. Let me pull out my trusty Galaxy Tablet S4. Starting at verse 25, Luke 14. And let's make sure that's it. Yes, that is it. All right. So I have my scripture pulled up. But what I want to do first is I want to read you an article, okay? And give you a little bit of background. Jack Phillips is the owner of the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Now, this is, once again, in Colorado. It's something about the state of Colorado, boy. I tell you what. Jack Phillips, what happened in the past, if anyone's followed the story, is that he was sued by the government because he would not bake a cake for a gay wedding. The Supreme Court ended up validating him. But then, months later, another couple comes in, and I believe these were transsexuals. Another couple comes in, and they want him to bake a cake, and he refuses that. And so, once again, the Colorado, whatever the corporation is, whatever the government entity is, decides to sue him again. And so now Jack Phillips is going through more persecution again as a Christian owner of a bake shop, okay? But what I wanted to say and what I wanted to encourage, okay, is that the gospel is still alive. The gospel is still saving people. The power of those who are being persecuted for the Lord is that the word of God can still go forth. Remember in Acts chapter 8 when Saul started the persecution of the church and the church was scattered, but everywhere they were going, they were preaching the word of God and the church was growing because of that. People were becoming believers even in the midst of persecution. So let me read this article to you. This is from thechristianpost.com. Jack Phillips' nephew becomes a Christian after seeing uncle withstand hate attacks and death threats. And I'm going to read here. The nephew of Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips says that he found faith and turned to the Bible after seeing his uncle withstand hate and death threats when he declined to bake a same-sex wedding cake. The Alliance Defending Freedom, the law group that successfully represented Phillips in his Supreme Court case concerning his refusal on religious grounds to design custom cakes for gay weddings, pointed out that the baker had hate mail, nasty phone calls, and death threats pouring in. At one point, Jack even received a death threat when his daughter and granddaughter were in the store. He sent them in back to hide while he called the police. The threats got so bad that Jack's wife, Debbie, who was too afraid to go into their own shop. At that time, Sean Phillips, a nephew, didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. He saw that his uncle was willing to take a stand for his beliefs. However, he continued to serve and engage with various members of the community, including homeless people. ADF says that Sean became angry and shocked at the hateful messages sent against the Colorado baker. Quote, but in observing and talking with Jack, he saw a quiet example of what it looks like to live a life of obedience in Christ. Over time, Sean let go of his anger. He dug into the Bible to understand the comfort that Jack had in Christ and how he himself could withstand such hardship with grace and peace. And eventually, God drew Sean to himself. Today, Sean is walking with Jesus and is a changed man. Phillips said that others have told him their lives have also been changed by his witness. Quote, we have been blessed to see countless other Christians who've watched the effect of this case on our lives, standing up boldly with greater confidence. Some weren't standing up at all, and now they are firm in God's teachings, the baker revealed. He says, that's deeply encouraging to us, and I think it is one of the most beautiful things that could happen to anyone in a similar situation, to know that other people will be encouraged and in turn will encourage others. That really has made all this worthwhile. To end the story, then the story just goes on to talk about the new case and things like that. But let me just pause there and just let you think on that, let you catch your breath. Now I'm going to read to you from the scriptures. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 25. This is in the New King James Version. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yet his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost, whether he has enough to finish, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all cannot be my disciple. Why did I read that? Well, I read that because, see, it costs to be a Christian. There's a lot of people who would give you bad preaching on how being a Christian means you're going to have all of this blessing, all of this wonderful blessing, and you're going to be repositioned for greater, and you're going to be exalted in this earth, and such and so forth. But that's not scriptural. Sure, are there blessings in the Lord? Of course there are. But those blessings are typically spiritual blessings. To be a Christian, it costs. this young man, Sean, saw the faith of his uncle. And something in him said, I want that. And he got into the Bible. Now, this is another key. He got into the Bible for himself. And he read and he found out why his Uncle Jack had peace like that. He found out that it came from the Prince of Peace. And it was the Word of God that saved him. It was the Word of God that changed him. You know, there was this story about this preacher a couple weeks ago in Chicago who basically reamed out this transsexual for coming in his church and dressing like a woman, and he was chest pounding and saying, hey, you don't bring that in my church, such and so forth. And I thought about that and I said, man, what a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity to have taken that young man and given him the Word. Because my friend, the Word of God and the gospel will do more for anybody's soul than any of our yelling and screaming at anybody, okay? Understand that. There is power in his Word, resurrecting, life-changing power. The power that says, yes, I believe, even though it is not to my advantage to believe. Yes, I believe, even though it may cost me my life. Yes, I believe. It will cost me, but yes, I believe, because what I'm gaining in return is more valuable. Eternal glory and sonship with the Father. That when I pass from this scene to the next, I'll be in heaven. But more importantly than that, you will have a relationship while down here in this scene that is from everlasting to everlasting. Glory be unto the name of the Lord. That is full of joy, full of strength, a strength that this world can't understand, a peace that this world cannot understand. We're going to need that stuff. As the persecution ratchets up, we're going to need that. And I just wanted that encouragement. I wasn't going to read a special scripture today because I was already reading a lot of scripture to begin with, okay? So I wasn't going to read a whole lot of scripture today, but you get the point, okay? And so I'm going to end this podcast of the late pastor, Adrian Rogers, recounting the story of a young preacher and an encounter with an atheist, and how the Word of God, not this man's ability to argue, not this man's ability to withstand the pressure per se, but the Word of God, how it changed their life. You could chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. I am the luminary. Peace. And here's Pastor Adrian Rogers.
Years ago, I heard the story of a young preacher who came to a very small mill town to be the pastor. In that town, there was the self-appointed skeptic who felt it was his duty to humiliate and humble every preacher. He loved to argue. He was a pseudo-intellect. He could hardly wait for the young preacher to get there. The skeptic's name was Bert Olney, O-L-N-E-Y. When the young preacher came, the skeptic spied him on the streets of the little town, went up and said, I understand that you're the new minister. Is that correct? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, I want to tell you, my name is Bert Olney, and I want to tell you something else. I believe you're a fake and a fraud. I don't believe your Bible. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a Jesus. I believe that your church is a false organization. I believe that all of you are doing more damage than good. And I repudiate everything that you teach and preach. What do you have to say about that? This young preacher looked him in the eye and began to quote from the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He said, don't quote the Bible to me. I don't believe the Bible. That's no argument. What do you have to say about what I had to say? The young minister said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He said, that's stupid. I don't think you know enough to argue. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He said, is that all you have to say? He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. only was infuriated. He wheeled around and walked off because he could not get an argument going. But later on, after he himself had come to Christ, Bert Olney gave this testimony. He said, as I walked over the bridge going home, it seemed as if the frogs themselves were saying, judgment, 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 judgment. And he could not get the word of God out of his heart, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment.